Glad that you're here. This is what we refer to as our kickoff Sunday. For several years, and I don't know exactly how long, the congregation here has developed a theme for each year. And we present that theme right at the very first of the year and then try to keep that before us through the entirety of the 12 months. Sometimes our theme ignites us, doesn't it? And we stay focused on it and we're energized and we are constantly doing the things that we need to be done. But there are times when we start with a pang and we kind of end with a flutter. And that might be putting a little bit too much emphasis on the end with even a flutter. Last year was probably one of the best years that we ever had as far as presenting our theme and fulfilling our theme. And the theme was simple: seeking and serving those in need in 2022. We picked 15 or 16 works and we contributed to those works and we contributed well, didn't we? We talked about this last week. $100,002. That's a lot of money for a small congregation. But guess what, folks? It's over. 2022 has come, 2022 is gone, and we're not going to be talking about those things anymore. We have a new theme and we've presented this theme and today we're really going to focus on it somewhat. And the theme is simple: reaching back, reaching out, reaching in, and reaching up. That's our theme for this year. In our first lesson this morning, we're going to be talking about two aspects of that theme: reaching back and reaching out. In our Bible class lesson, we're going to pause and we're going to focus on a very important topic that involved the formation of this congregation. At least, we're going to introduce the topic to you and we'll be talking about it from time to time throughout the entirety of 2023. And then when we get into our second service, we're going to be talking about the second part of our theme. We're going to be talking about reaching in and reaching up. But in this lesson, we're going to talk about reaching back and reaching out. I have three brief points for our lesson this morning. I want to talk about this little word, reach. When we talk about a theme, we get together as the elders and the deacons and the preacher, and we start just presenting different themes and different words. And we finally came down to two words. Do we want to use the word look, or do we want to use the word reach when it comes to our theme? Looking back or reaching back? Looking out or reaching out? And both terms are biblical, aren't they? You go into the scripture and Paul tells us to look in many passages of scripture. One of them is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Looking not unto those things which are seen, but unto those things which are not seen, he says. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul tells us that we are to be looking at certain things, but we can also reach for things. Paul did, and he expresses that in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So both look and reach are biblical concepts. But we chose the word reach. And the reason that we did is because reach indicates more activity on our parts than look does. Looking doesn't require very much effort, does it? If you walk by a cradle and there's a baby in there and you can look at the baby, can't you? Doesn't take much effort to do that. But if you want to pick that baby up, you have to do what? You have to reach for that baby and use a little bit of effort and pick that child up. A totally different activity, isn't it? Reaching involves looking, but it also involves effort and toil and work. Let me ask you something. Does God want us laboring and working and toiling for His cause? Absolutely. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. The Bible tells us not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Our God wants us to be active and working and laboring and diligent in everything that we do. It is not to be some half-hearted effort. It is to be complete, total effort on our part for His cause. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 15, 58, I beseech you, brethren, that ye what? That ye be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Abound in the work of the Lord. Not a little bit, not just some. I want you to be fully engaged, and I want you to be abundant in what you do for the cause of Christ. Folks, Christianity is not a passive religion. Christianity involves the total engagement of our faculties, of our bodies, of our minds for the cause of Jesus Christ. So we chose the word reach because it involves a lot more activity. Now let's talk about the first two points of our theme for this year, reaching back. When we talk about reaching back, we're talking about keeping ourselves tied to the past in some way. We're talking about keeping ourselves tied to the history of our congregation. Is that important? Absolutely. And it's important for numerous reasons. Number one, our past provides us with a foundation, does it not? This congregation is here. We are presently building and trying to build this congregation. But where did it come from? Where did it start? It started years ago, 1984, and we are building upon that foundation, aren't we? Secondly, when we understand the past, we have some appreciation for what we have now, don't we? When we look back at the past, we see the efforts, we see the sacrifices, we see the individuals, we see the battles, we see the toils that individuals went through, and now we stand upon what they have provided for us, and we give thanks for that. We have a faithful, sound congregation that we can come to on a regular basis that we are members of, and it's because of people of the past doing some things. Thirdly, it gives us some of our purpose, doesn't it? Why was this congregation started? Why was it erected? Why was it built? Why did somebody take the time, take the effort in order to put Oceanside Church of Christ in this location? And once we know that, then we want to continue that purpose, don't we? The past also teaches us a lot of lessons. Sometimes the lessons are positive. And we want to take those lessons and we want to implement those things in our lives. But there are other times when the lessons that we see are not positive. They're negative, aren't they? And yet we can still learn from those things. Those are the things that we don't want to do. Those are the things that we want to make certain that we keep away from so that we don't fall victim to those consequences ever again. And the past also helps to keep us properly focused on the future. The church had a past. And when they started this congregation, guess what they were looking to? The future. Here's the question for us. When you and I are dead and you and I are gone, is there still going to be a congregation of the Lord's people that assembles at 1025 Snug Harbor Court? You see, that's up to us, isn't it? And it keeps us focused on the future. We go into the Bible, and the Bible talks about the past a lot. One passage is Romans 15:4, and Paul says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What is Paul doing? Paul's pointing us to the past, isn't he? He says there's been some things that have been written aforetime in the past. They're historic documents. But guess what? They are written for our learning. Folks, you and I are not to cover up the past. You and I are not to forget the past. You and I are not trying to change the past. You and I need to what? You and I need to take the past and learn from it to the best of our ability, both the positives and the negatives. Did you know that almost every book of the New Testament looks back in some way to the Old Testament? In Matthew, the 19th chapter, some Jews come to Jesus and they ask Him a question. And the question that they ask Him has to do with divorce. The question that they asked was this: is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And what I find interesting is that Jesus goes way, way, way back into the past in order to answer that question. In fact, He goes all the way back to the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. And notice what He said. And He answered and said unto them, "Have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" At the where? At the very beginning. He takes them back to the very creation of the world itself. You see, Jesus understood what transpired way back there in the Garden of Eden was of vital importance. And man needs to understand that if he's going to understand the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage. There's another statement that Jesus made on another occasion. And it's a very simple statement, but He goes back again, all the way back to the book of Genesis. The statement consists only of three words, and it's this: remember Lot's wife. There must be something important to learn about that woman. We all know what happened to her, don't we? She was fleeing the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and instead of looking forward, she does what? She looks back, doesn't she? She looks back upon that evil, wicked city as it's crumbling, and she immediately becomes a pillar of salt. And Jesus says, you need to look back, and you need to remember that. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, and I find this interesting because the Corinthians were Gentiles for the most part. Oh yes, there were some Jews in the congregation, but for the most part, Corinth was a Gentile city. In 1 Corinthians 10, he writes about the wilderness wanderings of the Jews long, long ago. And guess what he tells the Corinthians? Those things that happened to them are our examples. Listen to what he says. Now these things were our examples. Verse 5. He says, or verse 6. In verse 10 he says this: now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. Can you imagine that? Gentiles. Individuals who have absolutely no fleshly connection to those particular events. And now Paul says, everything that was written there applies to you. You see, history and the past was of vital importance to the church at Corinth. In the book of Galatians, false teachers had entered into those congregations. We refer to them oftentimes as Judaizing teachers. They were trying to bind the law of Moses upon those Gentile converts. And Paul writes his letter in order to confront these individuals. And what's interesting is, as he talks to them, yes, he talks to them about Christianity. He talks to them about the gospel. He talks to them about the New Testament. But he also says this: tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? The Apostle Paul takes those Judaizing teachers and he says, hey, you guys who are trying to bind the law on the Gentiles, you need to do what? You need to hear the law. He takes them all the way back to an event in the Old Testament book of Genesis that involves Hagar and Ishmael, Sarah, and Isaac. It's an amazing story. And he says, that's an allegory, and you need to learn from that. The past, as far as Scripture is concerned, is of absolute importance to mankind. And so we as a congregation need to do what? We need to look back. So that's what we're going to be doing from time to time in 2023. Take, for instance, we've already made mention in class this morning. We're going to be talking about an important topic. A topic that was so important that it was almost the basis as to why Oceanside is here today. And we need to talk about that topic. It's still of vital importance in our world today. But we're going to do some other things as well. You take, for instance, in September, I'll be gone on a trip. They do this every time I'm gone somewhere. I never get to have all the fun you guys have. You get to have fun from two standpoints. Vic's gone, somebody else is here. That's a two-sided coin, isn't it? But in September, Brother Sam Long is going to be coming and speaking to this congregation during all three services. Brother Sam Long is a minister, and he used to be the minister of this particular congregation. I sent a message to Sam, and he immediately said, yes, I'd be glad to come. And then he immediately responded. He said, it's been, and I forget the exact amount of years, it's something like, it's been 16 or 18 years since I've been to the Oceanside congregation. You see, he knows that there's a past. And he's looking forward to coming and being with this particular congregation of the Lord's people. Folks, we need to stay tied to our roots, don't we? We need to stay tied to the past. So we're going to be reaching back from time to time in 2023. But we also need to reach out as well. The church is a divine institution that has a divine mission, doesn't it? And we were focused like a razor on that mission last year. The Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is our main responsibility. That is our main obligation, to seek and to save those individuals who are lost. And when you study the Bible, the New Testament, guess what? The first century church took that message seriously, did they not? And they took the gospel to the world. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel is preached for the first time, and it stirred up the city of Jerusalem, didn't it? Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 go into the temple and they heal a lame man, and they do so in the name of Jesus, and that stirs a stink in the city as well. They're brought in before the Sanhedrin. They are charged not to preach anymore, teach anymore in the name of Jesus, and yet they leave and do exactly that, and the apostles are arrested again and stand before the Sanhedrin. And when they come in before the Sanhedrin says this, did we not straitly charge you not to preach any more in the name of Jesus? Now listen to this next statement. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Man. That right there brings chills to my spine. They filled Jerusalem with what? With their doctrine. What doctrine was that? That was the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Have we filled Atlantic Beach with the doctrine of Christ? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Have we filled Jacksonville with the doctrine of Christ? That city was so filled with the doctrine that guess what? The leaders of the city knew about it, didn't they? We keep reading the book of Acts and we get to the 17th chapter of the book, and as it opens, the Apostle Paul is in a Gentile city known as Thessalonica. And there he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he stirs up that city, and they want to find Paul, but they can't. So they find Jason and some others, and here's what they said of them. those that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Man, what a statement, isn't it? They had literally turned the world upside down. Here is Athens. It is a wicked city, isn't it? Given to or the city of Thessalonica, given to idolatry. And yet they knew about what? They knew about Christianity. They knew about Jesus Christ. They knew about the doctrine of Christ. And they knew these men had been going throughout the entirety of the world and turning it upside down. Today it's sad. Most of the world has never heard of the churches of Christ. That's sad, isn't it? What are we doing, folks? You see, our mission is to what? Our mission is to reach out to the best of our ability. We need to be stirring up our cities. We need to be turning the world upside down. The Apostle Paul said that in his day, the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof he, Paul, was made a minister. Colossians 1, verse 23. In other words, Paul says, I've been given an area, I've been given a certain responsibility, and guess what? I fulfilled that obligation. Let me ask you this. Do you think the other 12 men fulfilled their obligation in preaching the gospel to the world? I bet they did. See, it's our obligation to do as that first century church and to reach out to seek and to save those who are lost. We're going to be reaching out in a lot of different ways in 2023. We're going to continue some of our works, the Florida Prison Ministry. We're going to continue to support the children's homes. Both of those works are touching the souls of those who are lost, aren't they? We're also going to be doing some things similar to what we did last year. Not on the scale that we did, but similar to what we did. The elders have chosen three works that we're going to be supporting. One of them is going to be in the month of February. All contributions over our budgeted amount will go to Brother Jason Moore. Brother Jason is going to go over to the Four Seas Bible College and going to be an instructor there. Remember Brother John Grubb? We talked about him in November. He's a missionary over in Asia. That's where this particular Bible college is located. And they're doing everything they can do to enter into places like Taiwan and China and other Asian nations to preach the gospel. Brother Jason contacted us and asked us to support him, and the elder said, yes, let's support him in that work. Last year, we supported the Chamala Mission, didn't we? Over in Tanzania, Africa. And we're going to do the same this year as well. What a work. One of my friends by the name of Hal Ferguson, he is over that particular work. He came and talked to us on one occasion. It was one of the best supported works that you gave to last year. They're doing so many things in that particular place. A hospital, two schools, a preacher training school, setting up congregations throughout the entirety of that region, throughout the entirety of Africa. They need our support. There's a young family that's over there, one mission family, and that's all there is right now on that particular campus. And maybe our support can help get others over there as well. And then in October, we're going to turn our attention to a preacher training school here, the Georgia School of Theology. That's where Brother Jet Smith is going. And we're going to support another preacher student in that particular school. So those works are going to be what we're supporting, reaching out in 2023. If we're going to reach out effectively, there's some things that you and I have to do as far as our individual selves are concerned. Number one, we must be concerned for the lost. And I don't mean that from the standpoint of just answering the question, do you care about the lost? And say yes. It's got to go deeper than that, doesn't it? We turn to the Scripture and we find Jesus. And on one occasion, the Bible says that He approached the city of Jerusalem, and as He came nigh unto it, the text says that He wept over the city. I can almost see Jesus standing there looking out over that great city, knowing that those are the people of God at that time. They are the ones who were responsible for bringing Him into the world. And yet now they what? Now they rejected the Messiah. And soon they would place Him upon the cross of Calvary. And these individuals would not become members of the body of Christ. They would not be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They would be lost. And when he thought about that, he wept over the city. In Romans 9 verse 3, Paul made one of the most interesting statements that I believe is found in Scripture. He says that he wishes that he could be accursed for his brethren, my kinsmen, listen to him, in the flesh. If my being accursed, if my being lost, if my being condemned would save my brethren, the Jews, then let it be, he says. Wow. That is a deep concern for lost people, isn't it? Now, there's no doubt it's a hyperbole, but it shows how deeply in the heart of Paul he cared about the Jewish brethren. Do we weep over the lost? Would we be willing to count ourselves accursed from Christ if that meant the salvation of those who are lost? Secondly, in order to support works, we need to be informed about those works, don't we? The more we're informed about those works, the more we understand those works, the more we know what's going on, the more excited we get about them. So we're going to do like we did last time. At the beginning of each one of those months, we're going to focus on those works again and answer some questions. And I hope that we can get some of these individuals to come in and talk to us about those works. If anybody knows them, it's the people who's involved, don't they? And wouldn't it be wonderful to hear what's going on from their lips? And then we've got to be willing to give bountifully, don't we? Just like we did last year, we're going to have to do that again this year when it comes to the support of those works. We're going to have to reach down in our pocketbooks and we're going to have to give. The Apostle Paul was a missionary, wasn't he? The Apostle Paul was never what we might refer to as a located preacher. There was never one church that he ministered to for years and years and years and years. The longest place he was ever at was Corinth for 3.5 years. But even there, he was never supported by the church at Corinth. He was supported by other churches, or he had to support himself in his labors. There was one church that constantly, regularly, bountifully gave to him, and it was the church at Philippi. When he writes his letter to the Philippians in Philippians 4:18, listen to what he says. But I have all and abound. I am what? I am full. Wow. Having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. Here's a congregation who loved Paul. Here's a congregation who made certain that when Paul needed something, they reached down deeply and they gave to him. And he said, I have everything that I need. I abound. I'm full because of your gifts. One of these days, we're going to stop and we're going to focus on the second part of that verse. Notice how he refers to those gifts, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, well-pleasing unto God. Last year, we made a sacrifice whose smell went up into the nostrils of God, and guess what? He was well-pleased with it. And hopefully we can do that again in 2023, can't we? Folks, the elders want us to put some effort into serving the Lord in 2023. They want us to do what? They want us to reach, don't they? We've got to reach back into the past, and we've got to make the past meaningful to our lives. But we also need to reach out and make our lives meaningful to others. The first two parts of our theme for 2023. Sometimes when I look at a preacher, he almost seems like a cheerleader. You know that? Cheerleaders are supposed to do what? They stand before the crowd. They're supposed to get the crowd excited, get the crowd involved, get the crowd emotional, get the crowd pumped up for the game, paying attention to what's going on. Have you ever gone to a game and watched the cheerleaders in the crowd? Sometimes ain't nobody paying no attention. That's terrible English, but that's true. Those cheerleaders out there, they are working their guts out from the time the game begins to the time the game ends. In between plays, they're just cheering, 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 cheering. And guess what? Crowd just sitting there on the bench, like little knots on a log. And occasionally, you'll get one of them crazy people, won't you? He's just right in there with those cheerleaders, just doing everything that they're doing. Folks, that's what we need in the body of Christ, don't we? We don't need to just sit and listen. We need to get excited. We need to get enthusiastic. We need to get ignited for the cause of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been. You want to know why you haven't been? Because you chose not to. That's why. That's the only reason. Now you can blame it on 10,000 things, but if you're not excited for the cause of Christ, it's because you choose not to be. We've got something to be excited about, folks, don't we? We are the church that has been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are the church to whom the truth of the gospel has been committed. And we ought to be excited about that. We are the church for whom our Lord one day is going to come back and receive unto Himself. If those kind of things don't get you excited, you need to go have your exciter adjusted. Are there sins that you need to repent of and ask God to forgive you? Now's the time to do that. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we want you to be. The steps are simple. Faith in the Lord Jesus, repentance of sins, confession of the name of Jesus, and baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Do you need to respond as together we stand and sing?